This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy from Armature, providing software solutions for conformity assessment, standards, and policy management. Federal Tech Talk is the show that opens up the world of technology to the federal government. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts to help you understand some of the IT trends and challenges that your agency may be facing. Federal Tech Talk on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio we have Sanjay Castellino. He's the vice president of a company called SolarWinds. And we're going to talk about a topic that's really popular. It's called virtualization. There's all kinds of ways to slice it and dice it. We're going to talk about what it means to you, what it means to federal IT professionals, and maybe open up the world of SolarWinds to you. You may not have heard of the company. You may have maybe read an article and said, SolarWinds, and scratched your head and said, what's that got to do with software, virtual software? And Sanjay is in here to explain his role in the company and how the company can solve some of your problems. Before we begin, Sanjay, tell us a little about your background and maybe a thumbnail sketch of what SolarWinds does, please.
Sure, John, and thanks for having me. It's great to be here. So a little bit about my background. I have been in the tech industry, now going on, 25 years. Started out as an engineer and, been involved in the business side of the tech industry, for well over 15 years now. Been at SolarWinds for a little while. And SolarWinds is an interesting company focused, completely on managing IT better, and really working with users and building tools for users to help them manage IT better. And we've got a great footprint. We've been working with users now for over 10 years and have over 150,000 customers around the world, including many in the federal government, both on the DoD side and as well as the civilian side.
Let me give you a profile of my typical listener. My typical listener is a federal IT professional. He or she shows up for work 9 o'clock in the morning, finds nearest wall, beats her head in the wall, goes home at 5. and they're really frustrated. Their hands are tied. They have increasing amount of security to worry about. And, by the way, move everything to the cloud. And, oh, by the way, there's three people you're not going to have next year in your staff. And they're getting pushed and pulled in a lot of directions. And people might go to Google and type in VDI or type in SolarWinds. And maybe they heard about you at a conference or read something on a magazine and said, well, how can SolarWinds help me with this problem I have? I mean, can SolarWinds make my transition to the cloud easier? Can SolarWinds let me get lunch one time next week and not have to constantly worry about problems and putting out fires? I'm kind of fascinated by this company. You know, 425 of the Fortune 500 use your products. Well, there's got to be something of practical value there. I mean, in the commercial world, if it's going to save them time or save them money, they're not going to choose SolarWinds. Also, you're competing against some pretty big companies. I mean, there's some pretty big companies out there you're competing against, and you're making headway, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say that, I think federal IT users aren't that different from commercial IT users.
They beat their head in the wall too, huh?
They beat their head in the wall too. So, no, look, SolarWinds is all about helping IT pros. The software was designed from the ground up to be really easy to use. Most of our software you can, install in about an hour and see some value. And the reason we're in the companies that you talked about is because, IT pros really love the product. At the end of the day, we help them, you know, get to lunch next week and have a little free time and do more with the fewer resources that they're given. And so, that's what the products are all about. And whether you're talking about, deploying virtualization and managing it or monitoring your network or, optimizing, an application, SolarWinds has tools to help you do that. And so, that's really how I IT pros have really come to know SolarWinds and really helped us grow, right? They've helped us grow because they've used the product. They've seen value in it. It's helped them do their job every day. And it's not just the product. We've got, a tremendous community of users that that interact with each other every day. There's over 100,000 of them on our community site called Thwack. It's a great way to go solve problems both about our products and technology in general.
I wish we had this on TV. I could be like Vanna White and hold up this book and put my hand under it, you know. But I have a book in front of me called In the Plex by Stephen Levy. And if you read the book, you figure the only software developers go to Stanford, and the only place to start a startup is in Silicon Valley, and that's where all the brains are. And no one else, you know, back east is what they call it, has any brains at all. Well, this company started off in Oklahoma and Tulsa, moved down to Dallas, and this is real America. I mean, this is America, and this is people that grow and they find out what the problems are and they solve them. And if you go on your site, solarwinds.com, you find out about this community you have called Thwack, THWACK. And this is a community of users where govies, commercial folks can put up questions and find, oh, how'd you do that in Tulsa? Well, how'd you do that in Sacramento? How'd you do that in Arlington? And exchange information. It's a pretty interesting, I mean, that's a lot of people to have in that community, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you're right. The company started in Oklahoma, moved to Austin, actually. And it's been growing tremendously well there. We've got recently opened offices in Utah as well. So we've got folks all over the place. The community is fabulous. It is, I would say, a distinct competitive advantage for the company, and for the users, because those users guide us in terms of what to build, what problems they're having, where specifically the problems are when you think about some of these topics, like VDI, and really give us those guidelines so that we build the right products for them at the right time.
I have three grown kids, and I always tell my kids, you know, shared experiences makes for bonding. And if you want to be friends with someone, sometimes you're broken down in a car somewhere, and all of a sudden someone helps you, and you bond that way. And I think that's what this is all about, bonding, of having shared problems, shared experiences. And, well, how did you solve this problem without the teacher, without the principal stepping in? It's a similar user here in Boston going, you got that problem with the Windows license. How'd you solve it?
That's exactly right. And it goes beyond just, you know, problems and you know, work. I think we try to have a little fun with our users as well. Really get to know what they like, what they like to do. And if you ever see SolarWinds at a trade show, I think you'll see that we stand out. Big orange trade show booth. A lot of people having fun. And at the same time learning and sharing, what's going on in the tech industry.
SolarWinds, SolarWinds.com for more information. So the five pillars of your organization are managing networks, servers, applications, virtualization, and IT security. That pretty well defines your company. That's pretty good summary?
Yeah, no, I think that's a great summary.
And so if I were a network administrator, I may put my little toe into the bathtub and get some free programs from your website and test them out. And if I want to start using them, you can get actually certified to use your products. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way it works is, you can come to our website. You can download pretty much any product that we have for 30 days, try it in your environment, see how it works. And if you like it, you can buy it. You can start small and you can grow from there. You can get a SolarWinds certification. Over 1,000 people have gotten that certification. You can take the exams and really get deep in the products and the networking domain.
And it's not just there's 60 different products you have, aren't there?
There's about 30.
About 30 different products. All kinds of different things. And so if you're tasked with managing a transition to the cloud, you may want to consider different tools that will help you monitor that transition as far as security goes, as far as efficiently using resources. I would think that's almost like a gas gauge. I mean, you want to know how much gas you have if you're driving to Boston or if you're transitioning to the cloud. You may want to keep a monitor on what's happening with your system.
Well, I think that's true with any of all the products that we have. You know, in IT today, there's too much data coming at you, and you need some good indicators of, you know, what's going well, what's not going well, where should I spend my time. You know, you talked about IT users coming in beating their head against the wall. For a lot of our users, they come in and look at their top 10 lists in the system and see where are the problems that they have to focus on and go from there.
I'm an active Twitterer or tweeter, and I follow a lot of topics involving network security and networks. And the tweet I saw last week was VDI to gain 19% in the next 2 years. I mean, virtual devices virtual machines. I mean, this is something that's exploding. I think anyone who's listening and is in a position of responsibility, I mean, any professional would have to open their mind up to new ways and different ways of doing things and at least go to SolarWinds, read some information, find out about their products and download it. That way, if you're in a conversation and someone says, have you tried XYZ? Have you tried this? You'll be able to articulate the strengths and weaknesses of SolarWinds and where it may or may not fit in your agency.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. I think, you know, we're in a world where technology continues to change quickly. VDI is a great example of that. You know, server virtualization took off a number of years ago and has really gotten a lot of penetration into the data center. And VDI is one of the next areas that that people are looking at.
I have a son who's got a friend over at VMI, Virginia Military Institute, and I want to say VMI, but I have a VDI. I guess yeah. There's another acronym we got to add to the whole list. Let's take a break. We come back. We're not going to talk about acronyms. We'll talk about deploying virtual desktops and some of the challenges involved and maybe come up with three or four problems that a typical listener may encounter and what this company, SolarWinds, can do to help solve your problems. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, Sanjay Castellino, Vice President at SolarWinds. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio. Today in the studio, we have Sanjay Castellino. Came all the way here from Texas, Austin, Texas. Remember that bumper sticker, Keep Austin Weird. You know that bumper sticker?
That's
you
right.
Like that one?
Yep.
All those college kids there and the music. And Austin's really a fun town. I think
it is
a great
vibrant
place to live.
Community.
Oh, it's just so much fun. I have several of my kids' friends have moved there just, I don't know, for the music or for the jobs or the universities there and big medical community there, too. It's a great place to be. A lot of innovation there. The first block, we talked about virtual device interfaces and about your company, SolarWinds, SolarWinds. More information at SolarWinds.com, of course. Okay, so let's say someone is sitting at Department of Transportation. They're listening to this interview and going, well, John, you don't get it. And I've gotten emails like this. John, you're an idiot. You have no idea what you're talking about. When I thought about virtual device interface, the problem I had is bandwidth. That's the problem. You guys didn't talk anything at all about bandwidth. So I'm going to ask you, what about bandwidth? Is there a calculator? Is there a guideline? I mean, is this an issue in deploying virtual desktops?
Sure. It's a great question. And absolutely, bandwidth is a question to ask.
Absolutely. I'm an idiot.
I'm not going to go there. Bandwidth is a big issue for sure, but it's also not a one size fits all answer. It comes down to what are you doing? The protocols that are used over the network for VDI today are smart enough that if you have a little less bandwidth, they will compress the stream a little bit more. Also depends what you're looking at. Are you watching high definition movies over VDI, or are you just interacting with applications and printing documents and things like that? And so your bandwidth needs are going to vary a lot. I read an article that talked about, you know, if you're watching high definition video, you need at least 2 megabits per second. Of bandwidth, and then not to talk about latency, but because obviously even if you have the bandwidth, if you have high latency, the experience is not going to be great for the user. And so, you know, I would say think about what are you using VDI for? What are the applications that are likely to flow over the network? And think about what's the latency on your network? Do you have problems with voice communication today if you're using VoIP? Do you have problems with video conferencing if you're using video? If you do, those are good signs that you probably will have problems with VDI if you go deploy it. But if you don't, you know, think about the bandwidth requirements of the components that you do. And many of the vendors today who sell the infrastructure, whether it's Citrix or VMware or Microsoft, have a lot of detailed technical documentation on, you know, what amounts of bandwidth are required for what types of applications. So I think if you plan ahead, you can, deal with issues like bandwidth. But for sure, you know, you're taking a desktop and putting it into the cloud, it's going to require some bandwidth to get it back to the end user.
So let's say in my office at HHS, right downtown there, we have gigabit service here. We got 802.11 wireless. We're all fine. But when I go on the road show and I have to go to Utah, I've got to work with some slow DSL. Do you have to compensate for that as well with virtual desktop?
Yeah, for sure. And again, some of the technologies now allow you to take your virtual desktop on the road, if you will, and have that image on a thick client. so that you can work with it. But, you know, it really depends on the technology. And again, like all things within technology, you kind of have to plan for that in your requirements and not be surprised by it, you know, a week after you deploy.
I was once watching a movie, and this older woman turned to a younger woman, a movie star, and said, "You can never be too rich, and you can never be too thin." I don't know if that's true or not. Let's talk about technology here. Thin clients, thick clients, zero client. Can you ever be too thin? I mean, well, tell us, how would you define each one of these, and where does this fit in with virtual desktop?
Well, look, the thick client, I think, is what everyone think about as the PC today, right? So your laptop, your desktop, that's the traditional thick client. And virtual desktop, when folks started, really started using with thick clients. But over time, people have said, well, for the applications of virtual desktop, things like call center applications, do you really need an expensive PC? Could you get a limited functionality device that was able to process the virtual desktop in the same way that that, you know, your tablet can do many things but can't do everything your PC can? You know, a thin client can do many things, but not everything your PC can.
The HHS has call centers, people calling and asking questions about healthcare, and the person responding to those questions shouldn't be watching the Washington Redskins on their desktop and consuming bandwidth, right? I mean, this is the perfect act. I've been defining the application first.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think this is certainly one way to deal with that, because you can restrict what applications are available on the desktop. And you know, if you get into restricting those applications, you can actually manage very well the environment that is available in the call centers, for example.
Your company, SolarWinds, WINDS, kind of hard to say on radio. People have to write that down. SolarWinds, SolarWinds. They compete with you brought up Citrix. I didn't bring it up. Do you compete with Citrix, or that you work with them, or is this a frenemy thing, or how do you work with those folks?
We absolutely work with them. So if you think about it this way, Citrix, Microsoft, VMware, they actually provide the infrastructure that delivers things like VDI. SolarWinds allows you to manage it better. So we don't actually make VDI or the components of VDI. We allow you to make it operate better, run better, provide a better experience for your users. And that's what we're all about. And so we work closely with all the infrastructure vendors, and really try and let IT users manage that technology better. Because when you talk about hundreds of thousands of desktops, that's a lot of work to do.
So would your software work best in fixed purpose rooms like call centers or treatment rooms or maybe like an internet cafe or something like that? Is that where they work best?
Well, so our software actually sits back in the network inside of IT, and it watches all those endpoints or servers throughout the network, no matter where they are. So the endpoints could be, you know, in your call center. They could be in an office environment. They could be servers in a data center. We're literally an application running that is looking at all those different components.
8-10 years ago, I used to take all these tests, and I learned about networking, and I have all these letters after my name and all that fancy stuff, and I learned about tunneling. I thought that was pretty fun, and now we have a virtual private network. It's pretty easy to set up. Do you have to have a virtual private network to use your software remotely, or is that just suggested or not even a concern?
You don't have to have it. It really depends on how you're operating. Some people actually make some of our software accessible to the internet, and so some IT organizations do that so their IT users can log in without a VPN. Other folks do put it behind the firewall, and if they do that, then yeah, you need a VPN to get to it.
We're not too far from Georgetown. A few days ago, there were hundreds of people lined up in front of the Apple store in Georgetown all night long, apparently, in order to get that new product they have out there. And, you know, what about some bozo like me? I walk into an agency with a new iPhone or a Galaxy or something, and I expect it to work, bang, just right out of the box. BYOD, bring your own disaster. What about VPNs? Does it have to flex and adjust for that, or how does that all work?
Really, that's a can of worms in its own right. You know, I think companies and different parts of the federal government and been trying to figure out what they do with BYOD.
It's tough.
It really is tough. And you know, the thing that we've always talked about is first define what your need is as an organization. Why do you need those devices in your environment? And then define what you're going to do with them and how you're going to do it. A lot of people jump to the how.
Because it's cool.
That's right. It is cool.
And you have to support my new operating system and every other new operating system and the new hardware. And by the way, I've got this tablet too. It's got to be tough. The policy is going to be difficult for all federal agencies.
Yeah, no, it is. And you know, one of the simplest policies, to have is to really put all those devices on a completely isolated network so you can have access to the applications and services that are externally facing, but don't put them on the internal network. And a lot of people have actually gone that route.
We're going to have to take a quick break and come back. We're going to go one end of Georgetown to the other. We're going to go down to Georgetown, talk about the Apple Store, then go up Wisconsin Avenue to Microsoft and talk about licensing and virtual desktops and some issues involved there. I'm sure there's a lot of listeners who have licensing issues and questions about how's this going to impact, you know, Microsoft, and has that changed, and what about Windows 8? There's a lot of issues out there that I'm sure people are thinking about. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Sanjay Castellino, Vice President of Solar Winds. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today in the studio, we have Sanjay Castellino. He's the Vice President of a company called Solar Winds. Not a radio-friendly name, S-O-L-A-R-W-I-N-D-S, solarwinds.com. You can go to their website. It's blogs, white papers. You can download software. You can participate in a user support community. And you can read a blog. And the blog they have is called the Head Geek Blog. Pretty good name, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So are you the head geek, or who writes that blog?
No. It's actually not one person. There's a whole group of people that write it, from folks who are on our Head Geek team to our product managers that are responsible for building the products.
My blog is called Tech Tuesday Blog. I think that's a pretty good name, but Head Geek Blog kind of trumps it, I think. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's kind of very proud. That's bragging points to be in the Head Geek Blog, isn't it?
Absolutely.
We're silly in talking about Apple being down Wisconsin Avenue and Microsoft being up Wisconsin Avenue. Well, it's geographically correct. Big Microsoft office not too far from here. Licenses involved with Microsoft, and I think my listeners are listening to this interview going, Sanjay, okay, SolarWinds Virtual. My problem is going to be, what's Microsoft going to say? I have a license for this. What about Windows 8? And what happens if, you know, I tap out at 100? Is that going to deprecate my service? How does that impact my users? How do you work with Microsoft? How does that all work out?
Well, I wish I could tell you I was an authority on Microsoft
licensing.
No one
is. It'd be for 5 minutes because it's going to change.
Exactly. So, look, I think at the end of the day, it is a topic on your checklist. If you're thinking about implementing VDI, that is absolutely something that you should be spending time thinking about and talking to your Microsoft channel partner about.
That's the phrase that pays. That's the letter. Ask Microsoft.
Yeah,
huh?
And that is the best advice I could give people.
It really is. I mean, how can you be an expert in every single variation of licensing for all the operating systems? I mean, it's...
No, and I think...
No one can.
I don't think anyone is. I think in a lot of cases, it's case by case, and folks have to figure out exactly, you know, we're trying to do X. How does that actually impact me? And the only way to go is to go ask that Microsoft channel partner.
I've been in agencies and this question has popped up, and they're going, well, how's this going to affect my SharePoint? And what about this? And how about that? And I think you have to maybe plan this, because a virtual desktop can save you time, save you money, allow you to maintain your system easier and quicker, do more with fewer employees, which the goal is, but you have to at least talk to other vendors as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, another question that people are listening to this interview scratching their head going, well, what about storage? Don't I have to – I mean, how do I gauge how much storage I need for this? And a virtual desktop, so we don't have to worry about the hard drive on my machine in front of me, but the server, and how do you plan that? I mean, are there tools
for
that?
Look, I think, again, so I'll come back to – I feel like a little bit of a broken record. But depends what you're going to do. But realistically, think about the type of storage requirements that you'd have for your desktop, your physical desktop. Because if you're running those same applications, you're going to need to put that somewhere else. And actually with VDI, it's not just about the quantity of storage. It's about, you know, optimizing the performance of that storage as well, because, you know, people have to think about things like what they call boot storms. You know, everyone comes in the morning between 8 and 9 and turns on their virtual desktop, and all of a sudden you're pulling a lot of resources from the data center, both storage and compute resources from the server side. And so you got to look at where those bottlenecks might be, optimize those bottlenecks. And that's a place that, you know, SolarWinds can help you. That can help you understand, you know, where are those bottlenecks? What's being overutilized? What's being underutilized? You know, am I running out of capacity? When will I run out of capacity? And really allow you to plan for growth, and allow you to plan for having the right levels of performance to meet your peak demands. And I think if you don't plan around that, you will get surprised.
I agree. In order to deploy a virtual desktop, you have to plan for it, and there's going to be the 9 o'clock a.m. on Monday morning issue called the boot storm. But this isn't the only place to worry about that. My son and I were at a Nationals game, and he went to get a hot dog, and so many people were there, the system went down. You had to pay in cash.
That's right.
I mean, this happens in many different businesses. It's not just networks.
It does.
It happens in a lot of people. You know, I am sure that when Hurricane Sandy hit, the folks at FEMA were deluged, and they had to understand how to gauge different and the same things here. I mean, if a virtual desktop can provide savings, then at least you plan for it. I mean, the people at National Stadium have to plan for that big influx of people, and the system went down, and luckily he got to eat, so he had some cash on him. So that's the most important lesson there. And I think from the perspective of a federal IT professional is, well, let's get a list of typical issues and concerns and try to plan them before you go to deploy, and maybe go to THWACK, THWACK, and ask other people, well, how did you folks do it?
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who've done it. Some people tried starting small and then growing from there, and so I think you'll find a lot of people who've gone through many of the same decision points that you might be thinking about if you're considering VDI.
I have a daughter who is pretty good with words. We call her a language bully. And I'm always interested in language. We talked about thin client, fat client, zero client. I'm going to toss out a few words here, and maybe you can help. Well, what is this? What is a thin station? Is that just a thin client? What's a thin? Is that a term that's used very often in this business?
It's not used terribly often. Thin stations are used to refer to an actual particular type of thin client. It's one that's being worked on. I believe it's an open source project that's been worked on.
Oh, I see. Yeah. And so another phrase that I see in this discussion is something called a home desktop. So what exactly is a home desktop, and what relationship does it have with mobile devices, or maybe with thin clients?
I think a lot of people use that home desktop term to sort of refer to your desktop or my desktop. It's something that's personalized to you or me or whoever the user might be, and you want that same experience irrespective of the device that you're coming in from. That's how that term tends to get used a lot. And really it's what all of us want, right? You want the same compute experience, whether you're coming in on a PC, a tablet, a phone. You want to know you have access to the same applications, you know, things as mundane as, your bookmarks are all in the same place. When you log in from different devices are important to us, because otherwise it's just a hassle.
Now, I brought up 5 specific issues and concerns that people have, and I'm not even talking about the 50 benefits of virtual desktop. And one of the benefits is improved security, because all of a sudden you can have a lot more control of what's going on, and you can control revision level. And that saves money in and of itself, doesn't it?
Oh, for sure. You know, I think the benefits of virtual desktop are plenty. You have a lot more control. You should have a lot more stable environment, and because if you consider let's say we're talking about HHS and they've got 10,000 physical desktops. Well, every one of those 10,000 have slightly different footprints in terms of software. Well, guess what? When things go wrong with them, you're now having to deal with a unique situation. With virtual desktop, you have a standard footprint, or maybe 2 or 3 standard footprints. And so you can focus a lot more on stabilizing that environment, securing that environment. The data is actually never leaving the data center. It's always on the servers. It's never going to a desktop. So while it can still be copied from the desktop, it is physically sort of still residing in the data center. And then you can employ other tools and techniques to prevent it from being copied once it's on the thin client.
I want to bounce back to Microsoft. When they have software released, they talk about in beta, then they talk about going gold. That's just an informal term they use.
Makes it feel good.
Yeah, make it feel good. but I imagine there's a build that the virtual device would be the gold build, I imagine, that you'd use in the majority of your desktops. Is
absolutely.
That correct?
Is
it called a gold build or what's it called?
Oh, I think people refer to it in different terms. They normally talk about their desktop images. And they'll tend to have two or three flavors of them, depending on, again, what are the types of users that you're trying to support. If you might have a call center image, you might have a power user image, and those will give you different characteristics of desktops. Think about it this way. It's just like buying different models of laptops and desktops for your business. You tend not to have 100 different versions, tend to have two or three.
Exactly, because it makes things easier for the people deploying it. Standardization allows for easier compliance as well. I imagine that's another benefit of virtual desktop is easier compliance, and that's a huge word with my audience.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think compliance is one of those things people sometimes forget about. They're thinking, oh, we're going virtual. It's all in the data center. We don't have to worry about it. But you still do. You know, someone can still copy data from a virtual desktop onto a flash drive or misuse that data. And so you want tools in place that can help you manage that. And, you know, for example, you might want a security information and event management system in place to deal with things like USB devices being inserted into the client. And you want to be able to stop those devices from actually getting data.
Rather than sending out a memo and crossing your fingers, huh?
Exactly.
Let's take a break. We come back, we'll talk about virtual desktops with a company called SolarWinds, SolarWinds. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guest is Sanjay Castellino, Vice President at SolarWinds. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's guest is Sanjay Castellino. He's the vice president of Solar, S-O-L-A-R, SolarWinds, W-I-N-D-S. Of course, you know the website for white papers and blogs. You can read the Head Geek blog there. And Sanjay is not the head geek. And we'll find out if he's a geek or not in a couple minutes. We've been talking about virtual desktops, and I've been focusing on some of the issues and concerns because I know some of my listeners are going, well, John, you didn't talk about at the stadium when they flush all the toilets at once and the plumbing collapses. Well, what about when someone walks in the office at 9 o'clock in the morning and the VDIs all collapse? Well, we addressed that. We talked about a lot of different issues here, but there's a lot of benefits to taking a look at virtual devices. And what's interesting about the interview is that you actually work with organizations like Citrix and HP and IBM, and you don't compete with them, but you work with them in managing networks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think people always forget you buy technology, use it, but the more stuff you have, the more you have to manage it and do a better job. Because as we touched on, you know, earlier in the discussion, it's not like our IT organizations are getting more people every year to manage all this stuff. So, the more stuff you've got, the more you've got to spend time making it work. And so if you can put tools in there that help you do that, then you've got a winning solution.
One tool my listeners use is Twitter, and my handle is at Ray Gilray, so you can follow me there if you want. And I think your company has a Twitter handle too. The federal, I think it's at SolarWinds_gov.
That's right, at okay. SolarWinds_gov.
Yeah, just want to, because, you know, there's some people who read blogs, some people don't, some people on Twitter, some people aren't. Some people are going to listen to this at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's snow on the ground. It's incredible how many different people listen to this and how many different ways. But I'm sure people are listening to your voice going, that's interesting. Sanjay Castellino sounds like an Indian with a Spanish name. And is he a geek and not a geek? And so what I do is I have a scientific test I give every guest and ask them 10 questions. And we find out, we determine whether or not you are a card-carrying nerd, Sanjay.
All right.
And maybe you'll qualify for the Head Geek blog here.
Let's,
you know?
Let's
maybe
go for it. I might.
Okay. Now, first question is a desktop question. Do you even own a desktop at home?
17.
You have 17 at home?
Yeah.
Really? Well, I don't know if that's good points or bad points. It's remarkable, though. And when did you get your first cell phone? What year?
Oh, geez, that's a good question. I think probably 1995 or so.
That's a medium adopter, not an early adopter. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Sanjay Castellino.
So you do? Well, that's good. Do you have a personal blog?
I do, but I will say that I'm well behind in writing on it.
Meep. Okay, that's negative points. And do you use any online personal backup?
No. I have a very large server that I use for my own personal backup.
And what kind of smartphone do you have?
An Android Galaxy S4.
That's interesting. And in a typical month, let's say the month of September, how many apps do you use in a typical month?
Probably at least 20.
20 different ones. And if we were walking to your home this afternoon and count the tablets, how many tablets would be sitting around your house?
That's a good question. Let me think about that. Are we including e-readers here?
Yeah.
All right. Seven.
Seven. That's a good number. And what social networking sites are you active in?
All the usual ones, LinkedIn, Facebook.
The normal suspects?
All the normal suspects.
And the last book you read was electronic or paper?
Oh, electronic.
Electronic. Well, you did have some points here. I will have to call up the people at the Head Geek blog and nominate you after we get these results. I have a very expensive computer in my basement, and I'll run through there and print it out on my green bar printer and mail you the results and
try to
see if you're a card-carrying geek or a nerd or whatever you want to call it. It's always fun to talk about these silly topics, but I think it's more serious to talk about the future and what is going to happen with virtual desktops in the future. You know, some people are predicting desktops, they're going to be gone away. Those are just disaster. Some people are saying laptops, everyone's going to have a tablet, you know. People are saying by 2017, you know, 80% of the computing is going to be done on tablets. I mean, desktops are going to be something ancient and go to the Smithsonian and take a look at. Where do you think this whole world's heading in the next 5 years, Sanjay? What about tablets and virtual devices? And where do you see your company fitting in 5 or 10 years in this whole area?
No, I think it's a good question. And while I didn't bring my crystal ball, I consulted it before I came.
Well, that's good points for that.
Yeah, there you go. I think there's a lot changing in our personal computing environments. We've already seen the move away from desktops. I don't know the latest sales numbers, but I'd venture to say that desktops are way down compared to laptops and tablets and mobile devices. And so there's already a shift. I think people still want to have access to the applications they need, whether it's for work, for personal use, from any device. And so I think that the trend is to make that happen, right? Give people access to the applications they want and need, whether it's for business purposes, for personal use, regardless of the device, regardless of whether it's my device or your device. If you hand me your device, it'd be great if I could have access to the applications I need. So I think at the end of the day, it's all about managing both the applications, the infrastructure behind that applications, because even though we are getting rid of, you know, high performance computing infrastructure in our homes or in our workplaces on our desktops, that computer infrastructure still exists. It's in the data center. It's being run and managed, and there's a lot more off of it. And so that's still a big management task. And then, you know, beyond the applications, it's the user, right? Given that personalization, making sure that I can have my experience. You know, we talked about, you know, the home desktop for users. I want my experience on all those devices wherever I go. So I think that's where we're sort of headed. We'll take lots of twists and turns on the way there. It's not a straight line. So, you know, if you hold me to it in 3 years, I might tell you, well, it really isn't a straight line. We'll go in a lot of different directions, and there'll be lots of devices that come and go along the way. But I think at the end of the day, you know, we all want our applications, we want access to our data, and we want it when we want it. And I think that's going to continue to be true.
I just had some windows replaced in my house, and the guy walked up and he said, oh, this is a standard size window, ABC, and he popped a new one in. It was no problem at all. When you take a look at desktops, I think the multiplicity of hardware that's floating around out there, whether it's, you know, your Galaxy or an iPhone or an iPad or who knows what the next product's going to be, or the new notebook computer, some type of standardization of an image, whether it's a virtual desktop or not, it seems like it's a convenient way to answer this problem. It's a convenient way to make sure security is there. It's a convenient way to establish heterogeneous hardware. It just seems like it's a convenient way to solve a problem that is apparent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think depending on the type of compute device, you know, if it's replacing a desktop or laptop, then absolutely a standardized image. But let's face it, we don't want a desktop experience on a mobile device. And so, you know, when I'm on my cell phone, I want a cell phone experience, and I want that experience, to still give me access to the applications and data, but in a different way, in a different format. And I think that's really important. I think we'll continue to see people sort of innovate around how they do that well. and match the experience to the capabilities of the device.
So, just in the last couple of minutes, there's a word that I've thought about and read preparing for this interview, a hypervisor. So just for my benefit, or maybe some listeners out there, what exactly is a hypervisor and where does it all fit in? I mean, do you make it? Does another company make it? Or what is a hypervisor?
Real simply, a hypervisor just abstracts the physical infrastructure and resources that you have and allows you to sort of divide them up and use them in bite-sized chunks. Right. We don't make them, hypervisors, VMware obviously is the most popular. Microsoft has a great hypervisor. There's several others. Citrix has Xen, as a hypervisor. So there are a number of them out there. But I think most people use, VMware and Microsoft these days.
So if you're listening to this program and you're using, VMware, that still should prevent you from going to SolarWinds and reading the Head Geek blog, because that may have a tool there that'll allow you to deploy VMware in an easier environment in your agency.
Well, not just deployed. I talk about managing it and troubleshooting it. People have large VMware deployments. They've got hundreds of desktops or servers or thousands of them. They've got questions and the Head Geek blog is a great place to come get some practical advice, learn how to do some things. And then the Head Geek blog's on THWAC, our community site. And that's a great way to ask your peers, for help.
THWACK. And they have a very active YouTube channel. So you go to YouTube and search some videos on SolarWinds. I'll be doing that this evening. I'll send you out a little note afterwards. So I think videos are hard to pull off. But if you can come up with videos that help my listeners, I'm going to tell them about them and tell them more.
All righty. Great.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Today in the studio, Sanjay Castellino, Vice President at SolarWinds.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of the Armature Corporation, providing consulting, application development, and business productivity solutions on the Microsoft platform. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show or any of our weekly programs anytime at federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, only on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, and federalnewsradio.com.